Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps setting up. I think I'm cracking up. And am I just paranoid? Am I just dumb?
Prominent features they chose is the loss of canopy and the loss of trees. And what we plan on doing is use this loss of trees to decide where we want to put our future tree plantings within the city.
All right, so this is the arborist for the city of Pensacola, Chris Stultz, who was doing a presentation to the Pensacola City Council on Monday during their agenda review. And as you heard him say, we put a bunch of trees in after Sally, and about 90% of, or sorry, we have done a study of the tree canopy, and we're using that in order to figure out where to plant the trees, which makes sense. It's a very much a D.C. Reeves way of doing things, which is assess, put your goals in, and then figure out, okay, how do we achieve those goals best within the facts as they exist? And for example, knowing where we came from is important because after Sally, a lot of trees were down, and we put a fair number of trees back in.
A little basic history. Back in 2020, we got hit with Hurricane Sally with a influx of $150,000 from the Tree Trust Fund into the city parks. We were able to put in 331 new trees. So far, with that, with the establishments, we're looking at approximately a 90% survival rate with the trees that we put in during Hurricane Sally.
Hey, that's fantastic. 90% survival rate. I mean, you might think, oh my God, 10% died. Better than half. You know, that's really, really good, 10%. Because they're not all going to survive. New trees that you try to put in. We're not talking about seedlings, or even saplings. We're talking about, mature trees either, right? We're talking about somewhere in between. But these ones we're planting are not particularly big.
Now, a caveat to that is these trees are much smaller. The trees that we put in for the hurricane coverage are much smaller than what we're planning to put in moving forward. We plan on putting a larger stock tree in.
That's a way of saying it's going to be more expensive and you're going to get fewer trees, but they're going to be bigger faster, right? Because you're putting them in at a more of an age of maturity. So you're going to see more tree and get more, carbon dioxide for oxygen, although it's already happening somewhere. Just isn't happening right exactly in the city. But, you get more canopy quicker. But again, it takes more money and you get fewer in the end out of the total number. And if you were to wait 20 years, you'd be ahead with the smaller trees. But you got to act now. I mean, a lot of considerations that go into how to do this. That he says, look, we're already planting a whole bunch. They got 14 elms on East Maxwell, North 6th and 7th of 4 elms, and West Gregory. They're putting longleaf pines in at Parker Circle. 10 live oaks are going in at Catalina Square. But one thing to understand in the conversation that they had was you can't just put live oaks in any time of year. They're seasonal. And we're starting to get into the time of year when you put in oaks because they don't start to actually make them available from the nurseries until maybe next month or December. And so live oaks are kind of one of these action items that can't just go any time of year they go now, which makes sense. The trees are seasonal and also they're going to have a better chance of surviving if you cut them, transport them, and then plant them in the right time of year. Okay, it's not exactly that you can just do it anytime you want to. So there's a kind of time element involved in this. And also, how did they figure out where they're going to go? Well, again, with the tree study, what were the factors they looked at?
We figured out where we had existing trees. And that's that slide with the green and the gray. Those are existing right-of-way trees. And then we decided, okay, so where do we have overhead utilities? Because we don't want to put large trees where there's going to be an overhead problem in the future. So that's what we have there on our second slide. Our second photograph there is where all the overhead utilities have been recognized near trees. So then we went to our next slide. Our next slide is urban heat. Where is it the hottest in the city?
All factors which make good sense. That's not all the factors, but all of those factors make sense. You want to figure out, where do you have existing trees, meaning where do you have need? As in where they aren't. Where do you have overhead utilities? Because there's no purpose in or no value in planting a medium-aged tree under some power lines, it's going to grow, and then you're just going to have to keep cutting it back or pruning it, or, you know, they're going to do it, and it's going to be bad. That's not a – so you find where there's no overhead utilities. And then look at places where they have urban heat issues, right, because the shade is supposed to help with that. Also, and this is something we've talked about fairly extensively previously, you want to consider which neighborhoods are the most vulnerable economically, socially, shorthand. You know, poorer neighborhoods tend to have fewer trees and tend to be more in need of the benefit, in part because they're poorer, so they don't have air conditioning as much, so they don't have cars as much, so they need the benefit of the trees in those areas. There's kind of a catch-22. They have fewer of them and they need them more, right?
Now, what's not shown in here is an additional two more slides having to do with economic and social vulnerabilities that I didn't put on here. But what you end up with at the end of these five or six slides is this last slide. And this tells us where we should be concentrating our tree planting efforts.
So this is the everything bagel of slides. This is the all of the factors put together. And when you sort of winnow out the undesirable areas, you wind up getting the spots where you have all of the right factors, and let's focus on those because we achieve the most with whatever trees we plant. We plant them in those areas.
Now, this map here shows us where it's socially vulnerable, where there's less likely of overhead utilities, where there's trees missing, where there's high heat and high summer temperatures, and additionally, where there's social vulnerability neighborhoods. We decided that this is where we want to put our efforts to putting trees in the ground.
Okay, so they did the tree canopy study. They found the places that are the highest leverage value for what we do with our, you know, tree planting trust fund. That's the money for fines for clear cutting, or just, you know, offsets for clear cutting. Just there's a, you know, couple $100,000 in there that we're going to use to plant trees. Historically, the problem is that we've kind of sat on the money and not actually planted trees. And then we actually made the decision to remove some trees because they were, you know, dying and they needed to be removed. And that was a kind of a controversial decision. In any case, now we're wanting to plant trees and we found the spots to plant them. But wait, the federal government. But in this case, the federal government is actually a good thing. But the federal government creates for us a problem, because when we've got a couple $100,000, I think it's like $350,000, if I remember correctly, to plant all these trees. Now the federal government comes along and says, oh, here's $1 million for trees. But the $1 million, it's actually $700,000 for trees themselves and $300,000 for some other stuff. But here you go. Here's a whole bunch of money to plant trees, but you got to plant them into poor neighborhoods. And you say, well, how is that a problem? Well, because if you go ahead with the plan to plant your $350,000 in all of the things, right? Urban heat, low, you know, deforested, no power lines, all of that kind of stuff. You wind up in the end with the areas that it seems like the feds are trying to solve. And there's no point in spending our money on foresting areas that the feds want to forest, because then how do we find the areas to forest with the money of the feds? We wind up getting a bunch of money we can't use.
So moving forward, we're going to have to analyze the grant to see exactly how we're going to be able to spend that money, what we're going to be able to spend that money on, and where we're going to be able to spend that money before we can really, truly come up with our next step with our tree fund dollars, because it appears that this federal program is going to be very restrictive. How restrictive, we don't know yet, because we haven't had the one-on-one meetings with them to decide, you know, where they want us to put the money and how they want us to spend it.
So the wrinkle is they've given us a bunch of money that we know is going to be very difficult to use, good to use, but it's going to be difficult to satisfy the criteria to use, and we don't know what those criteria are because they just figured this out. And we just found out, and we're running up against these time constraints of, since we don't have answers yet, well, we don't want to miss the planting season, for example, for the oaks. So, and if we're thinking about taking, this is the conversation we were having last week or two, is if we're going to move some of our money from the poorer neighborhoods over into the better off neighborhoods, because you get a higher leverage, the trees survive better because they will spend their money and their time and effort on it. And so you get more trees for your dollar and they have a better survivability rate. So you're going to move kind of anti-green equity, anti-tree equity is kind of the idea here, that instead of helping the poorer neighborhoods that need it the most, you're actually helping the better off neighborhoods who maybe don't need it the most, but you get more result for what you do. And since the feds are going to fund the help to the poorer neighborhoods, there's no need to waste our money there. But what do you do in the meantime since you don't know the rules?
So moving forward, especially with the federal grant, we're going to need to rediscuss our priorities with the tree trust fund money. I'm definitely going to need backup from or help from the citizens groups on where to put some of these trees, especially if we are going to reallocate the tree trust fund money out of socially vulnerable areas into other more affluent areas. I'm going to need help on where to put the trees, and I'm looking for city and resident involvement with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big task for an arborist, especially when you had the plan and now there's a bunch of wrinkles got thrown into that plan. You got to figure out where to go. Now, I always appreciate when legislators ask exactly the right question, and I had been thinking, listening to this meeting, you know, it seems like if we start planting in the poor areas and it's going to be hard to use this federal money, and then the federal money winds up telling us that the tree we planted in the poor area now, 6 months from now, was actually a tree we should have used federal money for, and we don't have enough other places that we can use the federal money for, we kind of wasted the opportunity to use the federal money, right? Jen Brayer, city councilwoman from District 1, asks exactly that question.
With the reallocation because of the $1 million grant, potentially, and since you highlighted the most vulnerable area there as, in my mind, overlaps the same type of usage for the million?
Pretty much, yes.
Or so are you going to go through with that? Or are we going to reallocate that so that we can use the money there?
Like, you know, we got this map. We got the 5-layer dip map, and it winds up telling us to go here, 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 and here. The feds come in and give us their money, which we're not sure exactly how to use, but it looks like their money is going to say all those places. Oh, cool. So, when you hear this conversation, which we've had many times in this show, and I try to make you aware of this, is when you hear the conversation about leveraging the money with getting more trees in better off neighborhoods, it's not abandoning the poor areas. It's recognizing that that's already going to be covered, just not today. It's going to be covered sort of next year when we finally get all these rules put together. Because, oh, by the way, the amount of money that they're dealing with at the federal level and the number of trees that they're trying to support and the programs, they're dealing with this on a scale because of the American Rescue Plan or the infrastructure bill. It doesn't really matter. One of the big federal spends put a massive amount of money in the hands of people that normally get a very little amount.
We've had one team's meeting on this, and I was sitting in this meeting for an hour and a half, and one of the things that came up was the U.S. Department of Forestry was saying that on a given year, they give out $33 million on a given year. You know, and in this, they've got $1.5 billion to give away, and they just don't have the scale.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while before we know exactly, because they didn't ramp up. I think it said something like 134 times higher than what they're normally giving out as far as grants. So it's going to be a process.
Yeah, when I did the math, I came up with a different number, 45 times as much. But it still, the point is, the forestry department knows how to process $33 million in tree-related grants every year, and here they've got $1.5 billion, or $1,500 million, right? So they just aren't accustomed to this scale, and all over the country, people are like, we want to plant trees, 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 where do we plant the trees? And they're like, ah! So that's kind of where the city is at, and the net takeaway from this that they're likely to do is they're going to start with the tree planting trust fund, planting trees in nicer areas where the neighborhood associations have come and said, hey, we can do this, and we can get you 8 to 10 times as many trees in the ground for the same amount of money, and they'll last longer because of where you're planting them. Use the federal money to plant in the poor areas once they figure out the rules, and then in 5 years, we can all be way farther ahead than we would have been if we spent our money now in the poor areas that winds up being redundant to the federal money, and we didn't even get the benefit of the extra trees in the nicer neighborhoods, if that all makes sense. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and cost out of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
One of the things, you're going to think this is funny, you're going to make fun of me for saying it, but part of the reason I love the Blue Angel show is because I learn new music. They're always putting new music into the show because their goal is not to impress the 52-year-old that shows up at the show. Their goal is to impress the 17-year-old that might be eager to enlist, right? That's the Blue Angels are a recruiting tool. And so, you know, though you might love to hear the Metallica, you know, and that Motley Crue, well, they're not aiming at you, right? They're aiming at somebody who's 16 and 17. They want to get them excited about naval aviation. And so you get Maneskin instead, and you're like, oh, that's a good song. So, you know, I always appreciate, I always look, get new music from them every year. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The White House is confirming now that at least 22 Americans were killed, 17 are still missing after the Hamas attacks on Israel last weekend. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says those numbers could still rise, and the number of Americans are also being held hostage by Hamas. He says the administration is doing all they can to locate the missing Americans. Right now, it's not clear when there's going to be a floor vote to elect a new Speaker of the House. The chamber went in recess yesterday. House Republicans, in a closed-door meeting, though, did choose Majority Leader Steve Scalise as the party nominee, the Louisiana Republican that would still have to win a majority vote. And it's not clear if he has enough votes to do that
right
now.
Yeah, there's like, if he's already lost, there's one Republican who says he's going to vote for Jim Jordan. Jordan had 99 and Scalise had 123, 24, I forget, something like that. And so if four defect, then they're below the 217 threshold. It's not 218 right now because there's a couple of vacant seats. But if they're below 217, then they can't get him elected at all. They can't get a majority. And Hakeem Jeffries, we get the deadlock problem. So here's hoping that three people don't defect. Matt Gaetz says, I'm voting for whoever's winning. I'm voting for Steve Scalise. So that part's solved.
Right. And bad weather has delayed today's scheduled launch of NASA's Psyche asteroid mission, the launch being pushed back until tomorrow morning at the Kennedy Space Center, where better weather is forecast then. The spacecraft expected to start sending back images of the metal asteroid by 2029.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm going to just put this out there. We saw this story yesterday and didn't get into it at all, but not that I really care that much. Still, it's going to come as a jaw dropper to many of you. Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith are separated for the last 7 years. Like 6 years before the Oscar slap, which she now says she thought was a skit. Good morning.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Secretary of State Antony Blinken lands in Tel Aviv. He's meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Isaac Herzog. And on Friday, he'll sit down with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Day six in the fighting, Fox's Trey Inks on the border in southern Israel.
Just a few minutes ago, there was a rocket attack over the border from Gaza into southern Israel here in the town of Sderot. At least one person was injured here. Crews are going to remove this car. It has shrapnel holes in the side. They need to get all of this out of the way. It's a danger to the public.
Still no Speaker of the House. Republicans continue to squabble, even though House Republicans did nominate Majority Leader Steve Scalise to be the next Speaker. Right now, he does not have the needed 217 votes to grab the gavel. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 60 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola right now. A Pensacola man will spend 4 years in prison for causing a fatal crash last year, then leaving the scene. That crash happened on Highway 29. It killed 53-year-old Lisa Rowe. Family members say that Rowe had been from out of town and just arrived in Pensacola one day before that accident. Yahir Moreno pleaded no contest on those charges. After his four-year sentence, Moreno will be on probation for 3 years. The Alabama mother that was convicted of battery and child abuse for an incident at Sacred Heart Hospital will serve 1 year and one day in jail.
36-year-old Jessica Bortle was sentenced yesterday. During her trial, prosecutors say Bortle rammed a meal table into her 14-year-old special needs daughter's midsection. The daughter, who was recovering from an infection, died following the incident. The medical examiner testified that blunt force trauma to the torso was the cause of death. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. Well, we are less than 1 month away now from the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show, and this year they'll be celebrating 50 years of women in naval aviation.
From the first four women to earn their wings of gold, to the thousands of women training as pilots, naval flight officers, and aircraft maintainers. Women have been an integral part of the Navy's aviation history, helping to make it what it is today.
And in 2015, Marine Corps Captain Katie Higgins became the first female pilot for the Blue Angels team. She flew Fat Albert. The 2023 team features Lieutenant Amanda Lee, the first female F-18 pilot in Blue Angels history. And this year's show takes place Friday and Saturday, November 3rd and 4th. Admission is free. A dog in Holly, Navarre, recovering this week after being mauled by a bear. The dog needed 12 stitches to close his wounds. The incident happened on Gordon Evans Road, where people are very familiar with bears. While some people say it's not a big issue, others say more needs to be done to stop bear interactions there in the area. Channel 3 talked with resident Tisha Johnson.
It's definitely something that they need to look into and find out a resolution, because it's a lot of them. It's nothing, you know, we're doing what we can, but it's so many.
Florida Fish and Wildlife says a report was filed after that attack. They say seeing a bear isn't always cause for alarm, especially in that area, but they do suggest that people should make their trash cans a little bit harder for the bears to get into. Donald Trump's comments about Hezbollah recently are not sitting all that well with Governor Ron DeSantis. The former president said yesterday that the Lebanese Shiite group is very smart. DeSantis tweeted that that it's absurd that anybody, much less someone running for president, would choose to praise Hezbollah terrorists as being smart. Trump's campaign says that smart does not equal good. They say the former president was just calling out the Biden administration for acknowledging that Israel's northern border was a vulnerable spot. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Light showers through the morning hours. That rain chance will slowly subside throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies throughout the afternoon and evening. 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. We'll be a little bit warmer as we go into Friday. 84 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It is 535 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And Joe and Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you looking for your forever floors? We got them.
Hi, we're Buck and Ashley Deese, the proud owners of Deese Elite Concrete Coatings, where we make concrete pretty.
4 times stronger than epoxy with a lifetime warranty. Our coatings are perfect for your garage, patio, pool deck, and more.
For one-day installation, trust the Deese Elite experience, now offering financing.
Get your forever floors by calling us today at 850-329-5599.
We make concrete pretty.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I intend to, sponsor a bill this year to try and take this on. In Florida already, we regulate charities. Florida Statute 496.404 defines, charities and solicitations and, requires that charities register with the state before they solicit funds from Floridians. I think it might be as simple as expanding that to make sure that everyone understands that panhandling is essentially, it's an act of commerce, the same way any kind of charitable activity is an act of commerce. And it's able to be regulated by the state. And I think, if you do it without the proper licensure, you can be criminally charged and prosecuted the same way as anybody else can.
So that was Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2 for the State House, talking to him yesterday morning. And he had been listening to our conversation between Chip Simmons and Sheriff Bob Johnson and talking about this panhandling issue and the ordinances, and me saying, man, it seems like there's political will and, a lot of political will available to do something to control panhandling, if only somebody could figure out the appropriate law. And he says, I think I have an idea. So we talked to him yesterday. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so
sorry,
I know it's just kind of, fresh first time you're hearing it, but any reaction or thought to maybe that approach to regulating or prohibiting panhandling by Representative Andrade? Not yet, Senator, but Representative Andrade.
Right. Yeah, look, I think, to keep this all in context, and I said this yesterday, you have to understand, and it you don't know a little of my personal background. You know, I've been around this issue for as long as I can remember. My mom's been involved in this, started the women's program at the Waterfront Mission. And so I've also been a downtown business owner, and I've seen the quality of life crimes that happen because of panhandling and things like that as well. So, you know, I have a pretty well-rounded experience through this issue. And what I'll tell you is the vast majority of the most passionate home advocates for homeless and homeless reduction will tell you that panhandling is an issue. So that's one thing that, regardless of where you sit on this topic, which is can be very, very divisive and very complex, I think when it comes to panhandling, which is people who do not want help and they want to sit at the corner and make a living by just asking for money and not looking for help or a way to find opportunity, that becomes a problem for cities and municipalities. Now, to your point, if there was an automatic way to do this, trust me, I'm going to go see 8 more mayors today. They would all be copying what we did, or we would be copying what they did, and different laws and different states, of course, that certainly change things. But at the end of the day, I think panhandling is an issue for cities all over this country. And you're actually for the first time starting to see bipartisan support with things like camping and some of the after effects of the Boise decision that have really controlled a lot of what you could or couldn't do as a municipality or a county. And so you're starting to see, even in California, in Oregon, you're starting to see Republicans and Democrats and leadership start to say there's some unintended consequences of this legal precedent that's causing a lot of issues.
And you know, the one thing I would say is just, you know, if I talk to my law enforcement friends, they're like, man, I wish we had something we could do. I wish we had enforcement we could take. I feel like our hands are tied, but we want to do something. And, you know, political leaders in recognition of what the population believes, which is this is a problem. This is not acceptable. We love the First Amendment, but we cannot have this kind of behavior overrunning our cities and ruining it. And we've got to do something. The political will is there, as you say, on both sides of the aisle to do something. And so I think, you know, something will be done. The question is, you know, will it be effective? And anyway, I was eager to, you know, talk to Representative Andrade about what he says he's going to try to do. And, you know, hey, maybe we find a solution. That would be fantastic. And I love that you have that background. I want to give. I want to, we tithe, like, you know, 10% of my income goes to helping poverty relief directly to agencies that work on this stuff. And I hate panhandling. Like, you can do both. You know, you can love and help the homeless or the poor and hate panhandling too.
Correct. And I think the issue lies, in my opinion, and Representative Andrade is an attorney. You know, he'll be able to speak at an expert level to this, but I know the general issue has always been, what's the difference between me and you exchanging money on the corner of Palo Fox and Garden Street and you and someone else that might be homeless? And it's making that delineation. And I don't know that path will solve that or absolve that issue. Maybe it will. But again, practically speaking, at the end of the day, the people that work every day, work overtime, nights, weekends to try to help people on the street also have the same frustration, because it takes away from those efforts, right? There are a few that really do take away from the efforts of many in this community, many charitable people in this community. So certainly any solution we could come up with that, I certainly support.
And just to be clear, in case people didn't hear you accurately, you and I have never stood on the edge of the corner of a street that ends in Fox and exchanged money for any purpose ever.
That's correct.
just to be clear.
If you tuned in right then, that would be good.
What are Andrew and DC doing downtown? You are headed to Boston this morning and took time out of your schedule to share with us. You're going back, as you said, to talk to a bunch of mayors and talk about city design and the Hollis T. Williams stormwater project, right?
Yeah, it's hosted by the mayor of Boston, and very grateful to be one of 8 mayors in the country. It's I'm joining the mayor of Detroit, Oakland, Chattanooga, St. Pete, and some others. And ultimately, I mean, the real way to describe it is like a think tank. Is I'm going to present this project and say, here's where we are. Great news. We've gotten $30 million of funding. How would you write an RFP? You know, who's done a stormwater park before? And it's not only the 8 mayors, it's 8 of the best designers in the world. And what's really cool about this project is they know what the administration of this project, of MICD, they know what I'm presenting. So they actually hand select. So more than likely, they're going to have design experts that have built massive stormwater parks that you know, all over the world that will be listening. So they kind of tailor the experts to what the projects that are going to be presented. So yeah, actually, I'm the first mayor to go tomorrow morning, and so we get about an hour and a half and say, here's our project, here's where we are. What would you be thinking about if you're the mayor, if you're in public works, if you're our city engineer? So you can imagine that's going to be extremely valuable. And as I said yesterday, probably the most decorated collection of people in terms of the experience of doing something like this to ever look at this project at one time. And so that's very, very exciting.
No, it's fantastic. It really is. You talked yesterday during your press conference. You began with talking about the smoke detectors and the installation. And you seemed pretty, upset might not be the right word, but like emotionally moved by contemplating the idea of poor people in Pensacola that don't have smoke alarms and therefore kids might be at risk.
Yeah. I was out there with them on Saturday, and we've had one of the worst 12-month periods having nothing to do with our amazing fire department.
Just, right.
We've had one of the worst 12-month periods in terms of fire, structure fires, house fires, and fire-related deaths in the city in a long, long time. And that includes children. And although those are all under their own investigations, I'm not speaking to any of those specifically. What I can say is, like the national statistic, the vast majority of fire-related deaths, the leading cause is not having a smoke alarm. And you just think about that. A $10 item that goes in your house that we're coming in and putting in for free could be the difference between the survival of a child that lives in the city of Pensacola, you know, and you think about what little effort that is to get that in versus what the potential impact could be. I mean, it is the return on that time and that $10 item is infinite. And so, I mean, it's pretty amazing getting to walk around with all our awesome firefighters last Saturday, and we'll continue to do this on Saturdays. But we put in 32 on the spot, brought a drill, our firefighters got on a ladder, put them in. And above these children's bedrooms and all that. And then there were several houses I went in personally that had none. Think about that, you know, with multiple children, not just a broken one, not an old one, zero. And so, you know, it's one of those cool things where you can spend a few hours out in your community and you know for a fact that that could be a life and death, investment of time, you know, and so. So I'm very fortunate to do that, and it was very powerful to think about that we have people in this city that don't have those. It really only motivates us to continue to do it, and that's what we'll be doing a lot of Saturdays, not only the next one on the 21st in the Westside Garden District, but also more Saturdays to come.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the co-sleeping and the crib care and the proper positioning for a baby, because it's the same thing. You can save lives just by getting people to have, in your case, a smoke alarm or talking about that kind of stuff, because it's so unnecessary how ignorance can cause death, and totally unnecessary for that to be the case. Man, we don't even have time to get into let's just do this one little quick thing and tell people the city is not considering selling Bay Bluffs Park. Instead, you're looking at a conservation declaration for Bay Bluffs Park that would actually, in perpetuity, protect it from being sold. Did I get that right?
That's correct. As I said, you know, when you it's just a fair warning. I used to be in journalism. A fair warning is don't get your news from the Facebook comments.
No kidding.
Stereotypes about the mayor. It is, you know, listen to credible people and credible sources who actually ask.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, you know, I grew up playing there. They're not in 1 million years would I ever be selling or privatizing Bay Bluffs Park.
Absolutely.
As I said yesterday, the day before I do that, I will resign from this office. That will never happen under my watch. And as a matter of fact, if the concern is beyond me, that everyone believes me, then I'll protect that too. And so that's so I'm meeting on the 19th with Conservation Florida with Tracy there, and I was on their board actually. For a little while before I'd gotten into the campaign. And so, because they had started a Northwest Florida chapter. So I've got good relationships with them. We're going to talk about this exact issue. They're very excited about this idea. And we'll try to protect it for generations to come. Could help us with some other potential funding sources and all that. So we're very excited.
All right. The frivolous topic, where I always like to end here on something a little bit fun. First question, when a movie is based on true events, but turns out not to really be all that accurate, does that bother you or do you still enjoy the movie?
It does a little bit. Yeah, when I see, you know, when it says true events, then I know it's probably like 15% rate. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
There's ways that they word it that make sure that you know that it's probably all fictional. But yeah, it does bother me a little bit.
All right. Does DC eat moldy cheese? If so, do you have a preference of which kind?
Very little. Maybe a little bit of blue. In small bites.
Tell me you're not like a mild cheddar and American is exotic times for you kind of person, though.
Right, yeah. Pepper jack is when, you know, spice things up on the weekend.
Last thing, I'm going to put you in the middle of a big controversy that you're not asking for.
Oh, boy.
Should America convert to metric?
Oh, yeah, I heard you talking about this yesterday. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's so many things. Hey, the brewery business, we already are there. I was a little attuned to that, but probably not, man. I mean, look, it's hard enough for me to, you know, get an email out to the citizens and make sure that everybody hears it. I can't even imagine taking that on. But
it
sounds like you're an avid supporter of this.
Now, I believe in it philosophically, but you'll get me to do it over my dead body. So that's where I'm at. Totally conflicted and irrational. D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, safe travels to Boston. Hope you have a great time and bring back excellent lessons for us here in Pensacola. Thank you, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Bring back excellent lessons, dudes. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The Santa Rosa County Public Safety Festival, the Fall Safety Festival, is going on today starting at 4 o'clock on Pine Forest Road. That's 4499 Pine Forest Road in Milton. That's the Emergency Operations Center, just there off of Highway 90. Get free helmets for the kids with a fitting, maybe even for adults. You know, I don't know. It doesn't distinguish only for kids. It might be for adults, too, for bike helmets. Face painting, games, safety tips, door prizes, and giveaways. You might learn how to do CPR and use the AED. If you don't already, basic first aid, mini training, all that stuff is available at the Public Safety Fall Festival going on again at the EOC today at 4 o'clock in Milton on Pine Forest Road. And everybody's going to be there. Lifeguard's going to be there. One Blood, Santa Rosa Kids House, all of the divisions of the county, animal services and extension, environment, library. It's a big event going on later today. If you're thinking about buying or selling your home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic. And, you know, I've known Christina from her news days. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's a good friend, just wonderful person. And when she decided to go into real estate a couple of years ago, those of us who knew her thought a couple of things. I thought, you know, she succeeds at everything she does, so she'll probably be fine. At the same time, you know, real estate is a little hard, right? And then over the course of the years that she has been doing this, she has just taken off like a rocket. The number of homes that she sells every year, it's crazy. She's only doing this, I think it's now her sixth year, something like that. And she's up to 230 homes that she sold last year. 230 homes? Like the first year, I think it was, you know, or the second year is like 65, you know, which is an enormous number for your second year in business. But anyway, it's been going up. And she has a team now that helps her, that she surrounded herself with, who are kind of like-minded and also like-hearted, which means they care about people. They want to take the time to listen to feel, you know, what are you really doing? What do you really need? And then do whatever it takes to get the job done in the end, including, you know, the house you're selling, you know, is under contract and tomorrow's closing and the buyer is complaining that there's nail holes in the wall and you need to spackle them. Well, she's done that. You know, I'm just like that kind of stuff, right? Hey, somebody needs to do it. Might as well be me. That's kind of her attitude. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, or you just want to talk about it with somebody that you can trust, that's going to be an expert. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty.
Tune in today to the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30, where there'll be a guest speaker from Pensacola State College on the show, talking about everything coming up in the fourth quarter. Everything from the Foo Foo Fest and Escape to Margaritaville to Christmas at the college. So much is coming up at Pensacola State College that you won't want to miss it. Tune in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel to learn more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There is something else. When the big man was killed, you must have wanted it. Its blood was on the leaves.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Morning, 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. How'd you do with the storm yesterday? A little bit less than I expected, frankly. I thought we'd get more rain and more wind. I wasn't looking forward to it. I'm just saying we didn't get as much as I thought. And this morning, it's all past us. It's like all over to the east, Tallahassee, and the north all the way up to like Birmingham, over to Atlanta, to Charlotte. So that's the end of that, at least for the time being. The David Wayne is in the news. Did I call you the David Wayne? I kind of like that. The David Wayne.
That's
he's like,
right.
He's like, what? Don't say the Ohio State candy. Don't.
I didn't go there.
Yeah, you did. It's like those silly people say when they say the Ohio State, I will say in all sincerity, the David Wayne is in the newsroom.
Well, thank you very much. A senior U.S. lawmaker says Egypt warned Israel of a possible strike by Hamas up to 3 days before that attack. Michael McCall of Texas is the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He told reporters yesterday details are classified, but a warning was given. McCall says the attack may have been planned as long as 1 year ago. The UAW strike has a few more members on the picket lines today. The union tweeted that 8,700 members of Ford's Kentucky truck plant are now joining the strike after no movement was made in the bargaining there. And speaking of strikes, talks between the Hollywood studios and SAG-AFTRA Actors Union have been suspended after those negotiations also broke down yesterday. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers says both sides are still too far apart. That strike going on 3 months now.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, somebody texted me and says, Andrew, when it comes to these measurements, imperial or metric, we all need to become bilingual. And, yeah. But then we'd have to be by signage, you know, like everything would have to be double. And then eventually, but I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and they said that we must have spent millions and millions of dollars as a country on the signs that got installed and then uninstalled in the 70s. And so you kind of wonder if those signs are like sitting somewhere with like the Pensacola Pelican or something, you know, that where they don't get used and where they're just kind of waiting to be reinstalled pending a future decision to be made. 437-1620, headline, New York Post, you know it's going to be good. Woman fired after boss discovered her explicit OnlyFans side hustle. A woman has revealed she was fired from her corporate job after her boss uncovered her secret side hustle. Just a side note here, wouldn't you call that a front hustle? Anyway, well, I mean, it could be a foot hustle, or a, you know, shoulder hustle, or, you know, I don't know, whatever weird things people are doing. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, she's from Australia, aren't they all? She says that she never imagined that she would she'd be fired for. Did you just say a down under hustle? Keep it clean. So she said she never admitted that she'd be fired, or never expected that she'd be fired from her job just for, you know, doing X-rated after-hours work somewhere else for extra cash. The last thing I wanted to do was get fired if someone found out about my OnlyFans. She'd been doing it for a little while, a couple of years, I guess. She got fired from one of her jobs, multiple jobs and side or front hustle. Wow, she's, you know, she works hard for the money. She says, I just started a new role, and then she got a notice that she had been terminated. And, of course, you know, these stories, I often think, they're not just news stories. I think these are, like, earned media by OnlyFans, because every time you get one of these stories, the woman is making, like, $1,000 a day. And I always figure, that's probably not everybody on OnlyFans.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The man accused of holding a woman and a child hostage over the weekend, now facing charges for killing his cousin after a family dispute last September. We'll have details on this story right after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.
Dead. I'm Chris Foster. Fox News, about the same number killed on both sides of Israel's war with Hamas terrorists in Gaza. That number in Gaza is expected to go up a lot more in Israeli airstrikes and possibly next to ground invasion.
There are thousands of troops deployed, though the fighting really has not even begun, according to the Israeli military. Overnight, there was a lull in rocket fire from the Strip. The Israelis associate this with the fact that Hamas does not have an unlimited supply of rockets, so they've reduced their fire to about 200 to 400 rockets today, some targeting southern Israel, others central Israel, in an effort to basically conserve their supply.
Fox's Trey Yingst in southern Israel. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Tel Aviv meeting with Israeli leaders about the war. An auto worker strike expands.
The United Auto Workers says nearly 9,000 union members at Ford's Kentucky truck plant in Louisville have joined the UAW strike. About 25,000 at other plants were already on the picket line. The union said the walkout came after Ford refused to make further movement in bargaining. Ford called the decision by the UAW to strike at the plant grossly irresponsible but unsurprising. The Kentucky plant is where the very profitable large F-Series trucks are made. Jill Nato, Fox News.
It's been 9 days since Kevin McCarthy was voted out as House Speaker. It's unclear how long it'll take to elect a new one. The Republicans' new nominee for the job, Steve Scalise, does not have the votes to win a vote on the House floor.
At least a dozen Republicans now have publicly lined up against him. He can only afford to lose four, meaning he's all but certain to lose a first ballot, and that means we're going to probably have a protracted battle for that position.
Fox's Kevin Cork in D.C. One winning Powerball ticket is sold in California for the second largest lottery jackpot in U.S. lottery history, more than $1.7 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
My dad has a cold, but also has high blood pressure. That's why I got him Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure for max strength daytime relief. Unlike some ordinary cold medicines, it's specially formulated for people like my dad. DayQuil High Blood Pressure is sugar-free, alcohol-free, and decongestant-free.
Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure. The daytime, non-drowsy, coughing, aching, fever, sore throat, cold, and flu for people with high blood pressure.
Like my dad.
Medicine. Use as directed.
Identity theft shows no signs of slowing down. In fact, more than $29 billion were stolen last year alone. That's a criminal success story and a wake-up call for everyone else. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Join now and save up to 25% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code at LifeLock.com, promo code Clay.
At a campaign event in Florida, former President Trump blames President Biden and Israeli intelligence for the Hamas terrorist attacks in Israel and criticizes Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for refusing to take part in a plan to take out a top Iranian general in a drone attack that ended up happening anyway in 2020.
Speaking in front of thousands at the Club 47 event, former President Trump blamed the Biden administration for appeasing Iran and emboldening the rogue nation, leading not just to the terror attack in Israel, but perhaps something worse.
Could very well lead us into World War III, and this is weaponry the likes of which nobody in this room can even imagine. Weaponry that's so powerful that it's the obliteration of the world.
The former president insists Iran is closer than ever to obtaining a nuclear weapon. in West Palm Beach. Eben Brown, Fox News.
The social media platform X, formerly Twitter, says it's removed hundreds of Hamas-linked accounts and taken down or labeled thousands of posts related to the war. A Milwaukee woman who threatened to shoot up a McDonald's over burnt fries has been charged with disorderly conduct.
There is a customer that is threatening to shoot up the store over an order of fries.
Back on August 30th, Brookfield police say 59-year-old Bernita Gottschalk ordered a sandwich and fries. After eating, a witness told police Gottschalk walked over to the counter and complained to workers about the, quote, burnt ends of her leftover fries. Police say she got so upset that Gottschalk tried to go into the kitchen and get another serving. When workers told Gottschalk she couldn't go back there, witnesses said she got verbally aggressive. Investigators say Gottschalk shouted all employees were, quote, drug dealers and that police were going to come and arrest them. Officers say Gottschalk told everyone that she had a weapon and threatened to shoot up the restaurant. Brookfield police tell us they did not find a weapon when they confronted her at McDonald's.
Brett LeMoyne with Fox 6, Milwaukee in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Next year's Social Security cost of living increase is being announced today. It's expected to be about 3 to 3.5%. I'm Chris Foster. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 6:05 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is partly cloudy. We've got 60 degrees in Pensacola this morning. And starting out with a check on our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Hi, we have an accident westbound on I-10, starting around exit 7. All westbound lanes are blocked. That's hard to say this morning. If you have any traffic tips, that's the only thing we have going, by the way. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much for that update. The Pensacola man accused of holding a woman and a child hostage last weekend is now accused of killing his cousin after a family dispute back in September. This is according to Channel 3. 26-year-old Jerry Foster Jr. is now charged with first-degree premeditated murder and the death of 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson. Back in September, Johnson was found dead outside of a home on Emerald Avenue in the Oak Crest neighborhood. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the two alleged crimes themselves were not linked, but they found evidence that was.
We do believe at this time that the gun that was used in the homicide is the same gun that was used to false imprison the mother of his child, and also the one that we seized.
Investigators believe that shooting was tied to a family dispute that led to a long run of violence between the two family members. The Alabama mother convicted of battery and child abuse for an incident at Sacred Heart Hospital will end up serving 1 year and 1 day in jail. 36-year-old Jessica Bortle was sentenced yesterday, and during her trial, prosecutors say Bortle rammed a meal table into her 14-year-old daughter's midsection. The daughter was recovering from an infection at the time. She died after that incident. The medical examiner testified that blunt force trauma to the torso was the cause of death. Louisiana's Steve Scalise is the Republicans' choice to be the next House Speaker. Congressman Matt Gaetz telling Newsmax both he and Ohio's Jim Jordan impressed colleagues while making their pitches on Tuesday.
Both Scalise and Jordan offered really contrasting visions to that of Kevin McCarthy. Steve Scalise said time and again that we weren't doing enough to put the Democrats on the spot and to play offense.
And ultimately, Scalise won the nomination 113-99. He takes his candidacy to the House floor, where he'll need 217 votes to win the seat. 6:07, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Light showers through the morning hours. That rain chance will slowly subside throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies throughout the afternoon and evening. 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. We'll be a little bit warmer as we go into Friday. 84 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First.